The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Jaybird Watching with myself, Chris Key. We are a part stadium scene. Make sure you check them out. And, of course, Jay's Journal. Lots of wonderful people doing amazing things and lots of good articles over there. Go check them out. We thank them for being on this wonderful ride with us. And when I say we, of course, I mean Adam Corsair, Craig Borden, and Brendan Panikkar, the newly married and tied down Brendan Panikkar. How is married life treating you, my friend?
No different than it was before.
That's a load of shit.
Not yet.
He's done winning.
Still no kids, so it hasn't changed at all.
Give it 9 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Lot changes really quick.
Yeah. I'm going to soak up this time.
Either way, congratulations.
Thank you very, very much so. Well, how about we talk Toronto Blue Jays baseball? That's why we're all here, and it is wonderful to have Brendan back. We've had some... No, we only had one guest. We only had Jason on last week, so we appreciate having Jason on last week and filling in those very, very nicely. I believe when we come up to Picks to Click, you might even have something go in your favor, courtesy of Jason. So get right into Toronto Blue Jays land. Last Tuesday, the Chicago White Sox were in town, and the Blue Jays were ready as they pushed their winning streak up to 6 games, taking the game 6-5. Alejandro Kirk led the way with 2 home runs on the back of another solid outing from Kevin Gausman, giving up 3 runs over 5. Romano came in the 9th with the 16th save of the season. Offense was ready, of course, against game 2 against the Chicago White Sox, again with 3 home runs coming off the bats of Guerrero, Jansen, and Santiago Espinal, who led off the game. Danny Jansen also led the way with 3 RBI to help the team to a 7-3 victory. Big story, though, is Ryu was pulled for 4 innings of work with more left forearm tightness. We'll talk about that in a little while. Alek Manoah led the way with another big performance on the bump, leading the Blue Jays to their 8th consecutive victory. In the finale against the White Sox, he gave up 3 runs over 7/3, striking out 5. Espinal continues with the stick, reaching base with 3 hits and 3 RBIs. On to the Minnesota series, where the win streak comes to an end and the Blue Jays drop a laugher 9-3. Kikuchi was not sharp as he went only 4 2/3, giving up 4 earned runs on 3 home runs. Springer and Guerrero were the only offensive excitement, both with home runs. Game 2 saw the bats come back to life as the Blue Jays pound the Twins, even with a rocky first inning for Jose Berríos. Bichette, Kirk, and Guerrero each had home runs on the 3 victory. Rios goes 7 strong in what might be his best start as Toronto Blue Jays, striking out 13, which I believe also is career high. Sunday at Rogers Center saw another hot start for the Twins, scoring 5 runs over the first 2 innings off of Kevin Gausman, who only lasted 3 2/3. George Springer once again off the game with a home run in the first, and Espinal added a 3-run homer late in the 9th, but the Blue Jays fall just short of the comeback, losing 8-6. First game Monday night in Kansas City started late with a rain delay that didn't slow down the Blue Jays' bats. Home runs from Bo Vlad and another from Espinal led the Blue Jays to a huge 8-0 win at Kauffman Stadium. Stripling went a solid 5 with another encouraging performance out of the pen from Merriweather, who's come into life lately, and some tidy innings of work from Richards, Thornton, and Matt Gage. Starting tonight, the Blue Jays sit second in the AL East with 32-22 record, trailing only the Yankees by 7 games in closely followed by one game by the Rays.
How do you not like that fucking delivery?
I was going to say, when did we hire somebody that can actually handle a play line?
Is that Chris Berman impersonation? Like, that sounded like the 3 minutes of madness with Chris Berman at halftime of Monday Night Football. That was awesome.
I was not
this is
Wilbur.
This is what happens when I have the day off.
Oh, he's
brilliant. This
he's
has been planned since he woke up this morning.
Oh, yeah.
How many boys. Years?
None. None. A lot of coffee, though. A lot of coffee. A lot of coffee.
That's a lot of coffee.
I knew there had to be some kind of performance enhancer there.
more ways than one. So what do we think, boys? How do you feel, obviously, coming into the or going out of the Chicago series, winning 8 in a row, riding that high streak? Adam, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts about that Chicago series? Did you see anything that stood out, anything that you were concerned about? Let's hear what you have.
So it was encouraging, yeah, taking a sweep against the White Sox. I don't know if did any of us have that on our radar that we were going to sweep Chicago?
No,
I don't think
was
we
not
did.
On our sheet.
Even if I picked, I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
It was a lot of taking two of those three.
That is encouraging because it's a team the Jays have been compared to in terms of their trajectory. I think we all believe, though, that the Blue Jays are a more talented team. Maybe a sweep proves that, but it certainly suggests it at the very least. It was encouraging and it's uplifting and it's sort of something that was needed, even though right before that we had a sweep against the Angels. So it just proved that the Blue Jays' hot streak continued. And I think the start of that series, or at least like maybe come the middle of it, you started to see sort of fall into his own. I know the Minnesota series, sort of open that up as well, but I just think now heading into June, if there's one thing that I've seen that has brought a twinkle to my eye, it's Vladius. It's starting. It's getting there. So all those things in combination, you know, save for the following series after that, but you didn't ask about that. It's encouraging. It's good.
Greg. Taylor, I'd like to hear your thoughts and opinions maybe on some of the first innings that have been happening lately, in particular the early runs given up and then the early runs gained right back in George Springer's 59th career leadoff home run. and Santiago Espinal coming into that role to lead off as well for George Springer and with his own leadoff home run. What are you thinking about these early hots on both sides of the ball? What are you thinking? Is this concerning that they're giving up so many runs early or more encouraging that they're able to get them back right away?
So the Blue Jays over their history have been notorious for getting blasted in the first inning. We even saw it back in the day with Roy Halladay. If you don't get to him in the first inning, good luck get to him. It's not happening after that. And to that point, I am not terribly concerned with the two-run, deficit right off the bat with we're actually finally clicking. I think the thing that's more encouraging, the fact is that it's clicking right back, and it's almost just that instant back and forth dynamic. You know, it's not just these close games that we were having before, but it's a close game back and forth now because they're actually scoring some. I think that is the more encouraging of the pieces just because of that. But to that point, we saw it the other day with Berríos pitching. He gives up a couple runs in the first inning, just completely unhittable the rest of that time. He was out on the mound, and that was how Gausman was during his start against the White. And it's been very encouraging to see that. This is the kind of thing that we were hoping that was going to finally happen with this team, with clicking with the offense, and it's finally starting to look like this is in mid-season form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. With the warmer weather come the hotter bats, for sure. And that's especially.
Or did they change the baseballs
right now? Well, that's definitely a conversation that people are having right now as well. That the baseballs are changing. Over the winter friend or over spring training friend, Carlos Baerga has been putting that out. Maybe you should tune into his 9 o'clock
listen.
Instagram I'll lives and try to figure out what's going on and if Jose Ramirez is still coming.
Yeah, to that shuttle thing, like we were literally talking about how Brandon Drury has 11 home runs all of a sudden, right before you joined the conversation. So
yes.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yes. Brandon, I think there's an elephant in the room, especially for the Chicago series. And now that you're fresh off your 2 week hiatus and rehab, we have to talk about Hyunjin Ryu and going back on the injured list with left forearm tightness. What are your thoughts, opinions? Is this going to be a season long thing where he's bouncing back and forth, or is the second time on the IL the time that gets him shut down for the season?
Yeah, shut down for the season, but I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back. He does hit the injured list again. I mean, we've seen in the past with the Dodgers, even earlier in his career when he was younger, he would get injured, come back, and go on the IL multiple times throughout the course of the year. Only thing I know is it definitely means they need to go after a starter at the deadline. I mean, with Kikuchi being much better than he was the first, what, 3 weeks, three starts of the season, four starts, he still can have some clunkers. That's what you can expect from a four or five guy in your rotation. Ross Stripling will have some clunkers as well, even though he was really good last night. Again, it is just Kansas City, but still, Ross Stripling has proven to be quite effective. But he can also have his fair share of stinkers. And until Berríos gets fully right, which hopefully last Saturday was the start of that, you know, Gausman, and I know Gausman had his worst start as a Blue Jay on Sunday. I'm not concerned by that at all, to be perfectly honest. But it's something to monitor for Gausman, considering ever since that start against Seattle, when they just would not offer at a splitter, it seems like people have adjusted to Kevin Gausman and what he's doing to attack people. There were a lot of internet sleuths out there that were thinking he was tipping his pitches.
Definitely.
Maybe. I mean, none of us are pitching coaches, so we can't say that for sure. But it's worth looking into. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, no. To answer your question, he'll come back. They'll probably take it much, much longer than they did the first time because I feel it might have been a little bit rushed to bring Ryu back when they did. And I think that's evident from the fact that he's right back on the injury list after what was it, just two or three starts that he made since he came off. Yeah. So
two starts.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to have to look for a starter at that point just for extra insurance when you get into hopefully the playoffs.
Let me
Adam, you're very in, I think I know where you're going to go with this, so I'll kind of lead along here. Sure, yeah. You're very emphatic of the Kevin Gausman possibly tipping pitches. What did you see? What are you hearing? What do you think the correction is? And do you think that correction can be made in a hurry? Because we all know that Kevin Gausman's a very integral part to this pitching staff.
So on the broadcast on Sundays, Siddle was saying that he was almost positive that his pitches were getting tipped. He wasn't sure if it was the man on second being able to see it with a split second right before the release. They could see the splitter grip or the changeup grip. He was calling, Siddle was calling each pitch before it came out, and he was saying, we can definitely tell what's happening.
Something's right.
I think if they were laying off certain pitches, it's because they can see it. So that's going to be a change in delivery, and this is where Pete Walker comes in. And he's got to do that quick. As you mentioned, Chris, he's an integral part of the rotation. But just to touch on your suggestion, Brendan, and we can open this up a little bit if you want. This is not me trying to poke fun over you. I'm just being serious, and I think we've said this before.
I'm not trusting where this is going.
Are we sure Ryu is better than Stripling? Are we sure?
No.
Okay, so why do we need another starter if we are okay and comfortable with Ryu being starting rotation if Stripling is going to take his place?
If you can improve, you do it.
Yeah.
But isn't the priority a lefty bat?
Should be. Yes.
Like, I think I'd go for a lefty bat instead of a starter if I had to choose one.
Lefty bat's up there, so is a bullpen arm, and I'd probably put both of those over a starter. But if a starter's available for cheap,
if a starter's there and in a package, I think you take it. Like, if you're talking to, you know, who has a decent starting pitcher
Reds,
on
Bailey or whatever.
Reds, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Either that, and that says Blue Jay move all over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you do end up talking your way into Castillo or something, maybe that's how we do it. But like, I'm thinking like Washington, there's nobody on Washington that you really want. I know we kind of joked about Strasburg in our group chat, but that's just way too much money. Patrick Corbin's
similar.
Not anymore.
Shit. Yeah, I don't see Arizona getting rid of anyone right now. There's nobody on Pittsburgh that is worth having for a starting pitching role. Baltimore's probably not trading in division, and you probably don't really want anybody there anyway. There's not a whole lot of Kansas City. I don't think they have anybody that you really want. It'd be really tough to do that, but if there's a way that Kansas or Cincinnati wants to get rid of one of their starters in some kind of deal, I think you probably make day of the week. To continue on with the starting pitching, though, as I alluded to earlier, Jose Berríos had a fantastic outing after getting a little bit rocked in the first inning, gave up a couple of runs and settled right down for 7 2/3 innings. Craig, what did you make of Jose Berríos? And there was talk of him possibly having some dead arm earlier in the year. How concerning is that? We know that Jose Berríos is typically considered very durable and has never been on the IL, which probably is in turn part of this, that he didn't want to take any time off to keep that track record up. But what did you make of that Berríos start? Is it encouraging, this news of the dead arm? What do you make of that?
To me, that was, in a nutshell, a typical Jose Berríos start. That's what I got to see when he was the Rochester Red Wing here, and I think Minnesota Twins fans will have these same sentiments, that having Jose Berríos out there on the mound is a roller coaster of fun, because you're just up, down, all over the place. But he's going to have starts like, unfortunately, that was not like opening day, but he's going to, you know, lay a good, and then he's going to come out there and be an ace, and then he's going to, you know what I mean? It's that back and forth of being somebody that looks like there should be the Cy Young Award winner to a guy that is kind of all over the place with innings and stuff. That was what I would expect from Jose Berríos in a start. He's going to give you a 2 or 3 runs at some point, but he's going to find a way to lock it in and the key parts of the game and actually get you through it. So I think that whole dead arm thing, he's past that after watching that start this last week. And everybody goes through it. We saw it with Josh Donaldson. It's just one of those things that unfortunately sneaks up and happens. Just don't feel like you had the mustard that day kind of thing. But it looked like he had that figured out the other day. Outside of that home run he gave up in the first inning.
Yeah, for sure. The other side of the ball, we'll go back to you on this one, Brendan. Alejandro Kirk has become quite the resurgence of late. I know he scuffled a little bit in April, but seems to have definitely righted the ship at this point. What are your feelings on Alejandro Kirk right now, and is this sustainable? Is he going to continue to be 300 hitter with what looks like some crazy pop right now and could be well on his way of north of 20-25 home runs? Is this sustainable for Alejandro Kirk?
Well, he's always had incredible bat-to-ball skills. Even when he was scuffling at the beginning of the year, he'd still always put the ball in play, and sometimes they would sneak through for cheeky little singles, and sometimes there were a couple doubles as it came through there. So I'm not surprised that he can end up finishing a season with a high average, whether it's 300, 80, 275. I think that's pretty reasonable and can be expected for Kirk. The power lately has been impressive, and I know for such a little guy, it's even more impressive when you see that. I mean, little height-wise, not size-wise. But he's always had that. As Craig said before we started, that's the guy he saw in Bluefield. It's the guy who got called up really quick from single A all the way up to the majors in 2020. So seems like he's living up to his potential, and they sure needed it, because it seems like it's just come at the perfect time when the rest of the offense is finally starting to. Keep it going. I think people, maybe opposing pitchers, just because they don't know much about Kirk yet, because he's still really, really early into his big league career.
He's all 23 years old.
Exactly. Still very young. Might not know much about him. So take advantage while you can, and until pitchers adjust back to you, keep on hitting the ball out of the ballpark, and it's been impressive.
I couldn't agree more. We will come back to Alejandro Kirk in a few minutes, but there is some news that just came out that Danny Jansen has a fracture in his hand, I believe it was, that he was hit by a pitch on his pinky. I'll throw this to anyone that wants to take it. How big of a blow is this Danny Jansen injury once again going on the IL. And are you surprised that Mourinho wasn't the one called up? Whoever wants to float that one, you can have at it.
I'll take that. Yeah, Gabriel Mourinho the other day. Good. He's not ready. Steven Strasburg, I was pitching for the Rochester Red Wings the other day. He made Gabriel Mourinho look pretty silly at the plate, the three at-bats I saw. Those were against Strasburg. To that point, he was making the whole Buffalo Bisons lineup look like they didn't belong Triple A when he no-hit them for six innings. But to that point, he was not hitting that breaking ball or even close to hitting it from Steven Strasburg. I don't even think Strasburg was actually going up there and airing it out. He was topping out at 91, 92 the whole night. So a guy on rehab, I'm not shocked with having three arm surgeries or whatever he's had over the last 2 years that he wasn't airing it out completely, but was outsmarting all these young hitters. And that's what shocked me the most out of it. I think right now, Zach Collins, you bring up because you know you have Alejandro Kirk to take over the load and run with this whole thing. And you just had Collins to be that extra guy. He already knows the pitching staff. I think that's the biggest piece of it. So, personally, that's where I'm at. As much as I would love to see Mourinho come up, I was a little disappointed the other night. All right. He's still going to be great, though. He's still going to be great.
Adam, is there something you want to differ from on that?
Not right now.
Pause.
Air your grievances.
I don't have grievances.
This is a safe space. We can all share our feelings.
Yeah, nobody's really listening. Don't worry about it.
I don't have grievances. I just think. I'm gonna piss a lot of people off.
Uh-oh.
Biggio can't catch.
No.
That's
not true. Biggio can catch. I think during the 2020 season, he almost did.
2020 doesn't count for anything.
No, but it's experimental.
Oh, my God.
I think...
I love it here.
I think what Craig said, Mourinho is going to have a good career. I think he's right. I don't think it's with the Blue Jays. I think they're selling him.
Oof. There it is.
I think he's trade bait. I mean, I think if Kirk is legit, they love Danny Jansen. And yeah. I, for the life of me, cannot understand it. I mean, not to say that he's not a good talent, but, like, I just don't think he's great. I don't see him. I mean, maybe you could make the argument that you see him as an everyday catcher. But offensively, I just don't see it. He's either hitting a home run or nothing. And it's very infrequent. If Kirk continues this way and he's at least the backup catcher and they're sticking to their guns with Jansen, why wouldn't you sell high in Mourinho? Again, he's still just a prospect. He's still just a prospect. We don't know what he is. And if that can land you, going back to what Brendan was saying, it's not that I don't believe in the talent. I think he's going to be good. It's such a clog in that position, and obviously Zach Collins is not Collins.
Really?
With the young talent that they have.
No.
But if you can get a decent return or a good return, a great return, why wouldn't you do it? We were saying, chat, this is, whether it's Soto or whether it's something else, there's a reason why he's still in the chamber. There's a reason why he's not seeing major league talent. There's a reason. And it's because you still want to have the mystique and the allure of Gabriel Mourinho.
And if you think he comes up and has a stumble, it's going to ruin it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's as valuable.
I'll attest to that after watching him go for Strasburg the other night.
Yeah, I don't think he's as valuable. I think people would still be interested. But right now,
as everybody seems.
He's a prospect right now. And it's eerily reminiscent of 2015, where they're at right now. Actually, they're actually better at this point now than they were in 2015. But
yeah,
if you can get a good return, a great return, and it includes Gabriel Mourinho, who has not seen major league hitting or pitchers catching, you know, him catching teammates, I think that's what they're trying. They're at least entertaining that option and keeping it up to trade deadline, I think.
Probably.
I mean,
and then what do you make of that? What are you thinking? I see the gears are turning.
The gears are definitely turning, and I'm just debating on which direction to go because, I mean, every single trade, every single player in all of baseball has a price if you meet it. I mean, you come to a superstar and you're like, here, take our entire farm system. Obviously not the entire farm system, but yeah, your best talent.
Pretty damn close, exactly.
The proposed thing that we said in the group chat earlier, which I'll keep a secret so that we get shit on too much, but the proposed package for Soto, how does Washington say no to that as a team that's rebuilding at that point, especially when it's so many top 10 prospects and even what, like 3 or 4 in the top 100? I mean, you could probably start piecing together who we were throwing around in the group chat, but everybody has a price. And I just think at the end of the day, it's as simple as Moreno has not forced their hand quite yet. And he got off to such a hot start in Buffalo, and then he's cooled down. And I personally haven't heard much from him since that hot start. I talked about that a couple weeks ago before I took the hiatus. So it's... Yeah, I just don't think he's forced their hand, and maybe that's a little bit of a cause for concern. I doubt it because he's still so young, so raw, and so early in his career. But I don't think he hasn't been terrible with Buffalo. He just hasn't been to the Vlad was and Bo was, where it's like, call this guy up. Like, what are you waiting for at this point? So if he goes on a hot streak and Jansen's out long term, Collins isn't doing it anymore behind the plate, which, I mean, he had his hot streak and his fun, so I think we can reasonably assume we know it at this point. Yeah. And let's say Kirk slows down. If Moreno gets hot the next little bit in June, by the time we get to July, maybe the All-Star break, I bet he is called up right around then. But he has to get hot at that point, and there's no other way around it.
When's the deadline? Does anybody know?
August.
It was first or something.
First week of August this year.
Yeah.
Okay, I say they, Brendan, I agree with you after the deadline, because I think the deadline is like a week and a half after the All-Star break. So I think they wait. If they don't move him, if something doesn't, if a deal isn't generated, which would involve him, which you're going to get a really good talent in return.
Oh, for sure you will.
And that involves a bidding war. You're not just going to offer Mourinho. You know, it's going to be a bidding war.
Other than Juan Soto, who is apparently off the table, not moving, not whatever. Who is out there or might have that fits this team that you would dangle somebody like Moreno and possibly Orelvis Martinez in a deal? Who's out there?
I mean, that's a good question. Because it would have to be one of those. Would have to be one of the top tap move on Orelvis or Gabriel Moreno, and Soto would be the only one. And as I said in the group chat, that quote from Rizzo basically translate as any GM would be to make us an offer we can't refuse, and we'll probably
it's gonna be for a team that's out of it. And right now unless you're looking like literally at the team we're playing tonight in the Kansas City Royals or somebody like that, you're not really talking at this point. Everybody with like, extra wild card spots and everything thinks they're in it outside of those teams.
Brian Reynolds isn't good this year.
No. And, like, one name that came to the top of my head isn't good enough for Moreno or Orelvis. Like, and they obviously won't trade him in division, but a guy like Cedric Mullins would be amazing on the Blue Jays, and he would fit so many needs. And I would trade Moreno to the Orioles for Mullins. Well, I wouldn't trade Orelvis to them, but
it has to that point, I think Mullins is going to be on the table. I really do.
I do, too.
He doesn't fit their rebuild plan as far as years go. He's going to be there, don't get me wrong, but is that when he's on his down?
Mullins is not having a good year at all. Mullins is not like doing what you would want to give. Like, he's hitting .236, five home runs, OBP of .299, slugging .368, 1.2 war. Like, you're an up.
Yeah. Somebody there's only like about that. 5 to 6 teams in each division right now that would even consider, I think. And I don't think there's anybody on those teams that you're really, you know, like we were saying, outside of Juan Soto, that you're really going to. Right now, the teams that I would say that are, you know, the worst in the league are the Orioles. The Tigers are allegedly on the upswing but haven't shown it yet. Kansas City, Seattle, and Oakland right now are your rough teams in the American League, right? Because even Texas has figured out something, and they're throwing money at their team, so they're not going to turn around and send a rebuild guy. Then you got Miami and Washington, Chicago and Cincinnati, and Arizona and Colorado, really. there anybody on any of those cursed teams that scream, give me?
And that's why Moreno isn't traded unless it's for Soto.
Yeah, I'm only trading Moreno for Soto, and he's not going to be the only one. But I do think Brennan, Chris, and Greg, like what we were saying about after the trade deadline, if he's not moved, you have a problem. Oh, yeah. You have a problem because now you have three catchers on the roster. Right, so if Soto is not on the table, moving one of Jansen and Kirk at the deadline, if you have intentions to call up Mourinho, you can't have to. You don't bring up Mourinho in August for him to play like once a week.
What about who are you going to get
Kirk for though?
You try to find a back end pitcher or a lefty back end
pitcher for Alejandro Kirk.
You're not going to get a lot for Kirk, bro. You're not.
I'm kind of with Adam. As much as I love Alejandro Kirk,
you're not.
And you guys know how my man lust is like.
I think you're going to get more than what you think.
I do too. Like, remember in the offseason we were saying Kirk would be a central piece for Pablo Lopez, who's having an incredible year, where that hasn't changed.
So can I give the point where I think Adam's going here? It's the team that needs somebody like Alejandro trade at the trade deadline already has a catcher. You know, somebody that's a team that's already playing that well, that they're looking for that next piece to go over the top. Mm. They're not looking for a starting catcher.
But who wouldn't want an offensive catcher?
But that's what you're buying.
Who can play defense? His defense has vastly improved this year.
Oh, I agree with that statement.
And his game calling, everything has been much better this year.
Look, I'd rather trade Jansen. I want him on the team. I'm just going to say it straight up.
No, neither do I.
But, like, they love him. I don't get it. I don't see it. So, like, I think if you could get what you can get for Jansen, who honestly hasn't proven anything. He hasn't. How long has he been? There was that one season that he was tearing it the fuck up in Buffalo. And then he got called up, and he's just been a dud. He's had, you know, little spurts
of defensive prowess.
Yeah, no okay.
Yeah, until and recent.
He's a preferred catcher, and they already traded away his boy. Barucki's gone, right? You know,
maybe you could trade him for Barucki and get Barucki back for our bullpen.
trade Jansen to Seattle and make him like have his boy back. But at the same time, dude, like one of them's got to go. I think you'll be able to get the most for Kirk, but I just don't know that we're gonna get as much, especially in a bidding war. I don't think you're gonna get a lot. So if you're not going to get a lot and you're just looking to, at that point, you want to trust the upside of like the bat, you like the defensive skills, and you want to give Mourinho a shot, you take what you can get for Jansen. Seriously, you try to get a solid reliever for Jansen.
Yeah, I think be like the Riley Adams trade.
Yeah.
Reliever.
Yeah.
As long as it's not Brad Hand coming back.
You get better than Brad Hand.
No Brad Hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I make the joke here that we are all talking like Gabriel Moreno has not done anything in the minor leagues? He's batting a mere 323 with 23 RBIs, 2 stolen bases.
Playing well.
18 runs scored. I agree with Brendan to your point that most of that was during his hot streak.
It was.
But he is starting to project that he's going to be a burn here in the very, very soon. He's got
prospect of Rocco. That's all you read.
7-8 in his last 5 games. He's got 7-8 hits.
Prospect porn, man.
So
that's it.
A lot of doubles. Big's coming from Mourinho. I think is trending into a hot streak.
One more hot streak, and that's all it's going to take.
Injury
is like we see if Kirk gets injured, which hopefully doesn't happen. Moreno's up here tomorrow.
Oh yeah, that's a no brainer. Even if honestly, to that point, it might even happen if Collins gets hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, then you have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. Well, it's either bring up that, what was it, Hinneman?
Oh,
that
didn't happen.
Not worth it.
Sticking on the subject of Alejandro Kirk, there are some rumblings of Alejandro Kirk and Santiago Espinal maybe making a bid for the All-Star game this year with their play. As so far, what are your thoughts on that? And is there anyone else on this team that could make a push? Adam, we'll start with you.
Espinal's the guy, man. I mean, like he's been proving since the start of the season that he's been one of the best hitters on the team. Does he still lead the team in WAR? No. Is it still Springer?
I think it's Springer.
No, I don't think it's Springer either.
You're right. It's Cabin.
Wait
so,
for it.
While you look. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I can look that up quick.
He's at least on the table to be entertained. I don't know that he goes through just because the voting system of the All-Stars is kind of weird.
Alec Manoah is leading the team in 2.1.
That makes sense. That
what
makes
about offense?
Slightly behind. Yeah.
Springer. Yeah, I figured.
Springer, right, so, Kirk. It's Springer, Kirk, and then Espinal.
Okay.
He's vastly exceeded expectations and consistently. He hasn't really gone cold. And you can just see that he's determined. So do I think he's deserving of an All-Star nod? Yes. Yes, I do. I don't see this slowing down. I see this to be a steady pace. What we're seeing is probably what we're going to get from Espinal throughout the year. Obviously, little dips and a little rises in between. But on average, I think this is what we got. I just don't know that he gets in because outside of Toronto, people, who the fuck is Santiago Espinal? Maybe
this is why Kirk would end up missing barely too.
I don't think either of them, but I think they're more than deserving of getting in there.
If one of them get in, it's on the final vote.
Yeah.
Remember how what's his face? Steve Delabar got in.
Delabar. Yeah.
Gonna raise that.
Delabar, Saunders, we got in as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So
Toronto
I think
will vote.
Will be on.
Toronto will vote.
Yes. For sure, and they'll get them in.
They
so
will.
I think a nod to Espinal would be getting on the final vote. If you had to ask who their All-Stars are right now, the top two are obvious, Gausman and Manoah, and one of them might start the game, to be perfectly honest with how good they've been.
Yeah.
And then because of the voting system, as you said, Adam, people go for clout, and Vlad has so much clout. Vlad will be in for sure.
Bo.
Bo definitely has a chance.
I think Bo wins if it was up the votes.
And Springer does too, but again, because they all started so slow, people look at their numbers potentially with that in depth and be like, that's not as good compared to some other guys. But on name clout alone, Vlad gets in. I think one of Springer and Bo get voted in potentially or selected as a reserve, not the other.
Right.
Craig, do you think Jordan Romano has any chance in the All-Star game?
He should.
Would you want him to pitch in it, though?
Nope.
No, exactly. No. Exactly. It'd be great for him to go, but I don't want him throwing a ball there.
Yeah.
My biggest thing is I want him having that break. Because by that point, if it continues even on the current trend that we're on of recent, he's going to need that break come July.
Now, granted, Romano hasn't thrown the last 6 days. He hasn't pitched since the first game against Chicago.
But to that point, how much did he need that? We saw
he
that
definitely needed
wholeheartedly with the fact that his velocity dipped those 3 games that he pitched in a row. And then he gets that little bit of, where you get 2-3 days off before he came back out again. And then he was throwing smoke all over again. So it's amazing what a few days off will do for somebody like Jordan Romano or a bullpen arm in general, for that matter. But now let him in. I wouldn't let him get it. I do truly think he is probably one of the best relievers in the American League right now. So he sure as shit deserves it.
They have a lot who will be in consideration, but not as many as we think will make it.
Well, just do some memory chasing here. When was the last time that the Blue Jays even had 5 guys was still back in the World Series days?
No, they had 6 in 2016.
When that's Saunders got him. Donaldson, Saunders, and everybody.
Yep. Four last year. Last year, Simeon.
Pat made that too, didn't he? Oscar.
I think Osuna made it, right?
Osuna made it 1 year, I think. Osuna was 2016. Edwin, Bautista, Donaldson, Saunders, and
Jay Happ,
Marco Estrada.
That's what it was. It was Estrada. Your boy.
Yes.
So, but either way, yeah.
For sure. Looking ahead, who do we have next? We have Detroit and Baltimore coming up before we speak, and with Kansas City. Anything we should be concerned about heading into these games, or do we just need to mash and win as many games as possible to make up games?
Yeah, take care of it. And it's not even just about making up games. It's about keeping the gap that they have opened up in the wild card. Because, they're 5.5 up on the first team outside of the wild card race? So just pile that on and cement yourself in the playoffs as quickly. And then focus away on chipping away at the Yankees. Because But they get them next weekend, and after that, you'll only have them six more times because that's 13 games right there that they would have played against them. So we're almost done with them. So you got to take advantage of those. But pile on the wins against non-American League East teams, and you'll be in the playoffs. And you have to do that this week. Great start last night, winning 8-0. I think 4-2 this week would be fantastic, to be perfectly honest. I would really, really like a sweep mixed in, whether it's against Kansas City or Detroit, to go 5-1 and be incredible.
The way both those teams are playing right now, we damn well better sweep both of them.
Totally, especially with Manoah going tonight and Kikuchi pitching in a big ballpark like Kansas City tomorrow.
Getaway game for him, too. Just get the fuck out. Yeah.
Exactly. Go to Detroit.
Yep.
So, but Greg, point, Detroit's been seriously slumping.
Like, I'm not sure if this has changed. I saw a couple weeks ago they're on pace to score fewer runs than they did when they had that incredibly terrible 2003 season when they lost like
just saying something how much money it is throws at Javi Baez.
Yeah, it's like he's over.
By the way, who I dropped in my fantasy baseball league the other day? Because that's how bad he's playing. He's 82% owned in major in the fantasy leagues right now, and it's gonna own.
Craig, before we kind of wrap things up with what we usually do, give us a minor league report. What do we get excited about? What should we be keeping an eye on in the minor leagues?
I already told you, Steven Strasburg decimated us. It's all loss. It's all bad.
That's it. We're done. It's cooked.
That's it. Done. Move it along. That's good.
We don't have a minor league team.
To that point, the Buffalo Bisons are the second best team in the league right now in AAA in the International League, only succeeded by my Rochester Red Wings here in town. So, but vastly different teams. The Red Wings are getting pillaged by the Washington Nationals because they just need guys on the team up at the major league level, where the Buffalo Bisons have the plethora of talent that is amassing ready to be Toronto Blue Jays. To that point, I was, like I said, I did kind of crap all over the idea of Gabriel Moreno a few minutes ago. But since Friday night, like I said, he's had like 8 hits. So there is something coming for Gabriel Moreno in that equation. I was trying to find it because usually you can find these kind of things, but being minor league baseball, you can't. I was trying to look at the most recent games and see who Gabriel Moreno had been playing against, if it was other ex-major leaguers similar to Steven Strasburg that actually do have good secondary pitches or not, to see if there was any balancing to that. Really did not find anything. Unfortunately, like I said, playing against Strasburg, he looked pretty rough the other day. One guy I would like to call out and say that he might be on the Blue Jays radar in a spot start situation is Casey Lawrence. Yep. He has been just crushing it for the Bisons and really been their workhorse. And he was fun to watch the other night. So I think he's due for a chance to show what he might be able to do. He's pitched like 56 innings this year so far in the minor leagues, and he's around a 2 ERA. That is really, really good right now. So there might be somebody else there that the Blue Jays might be able to lean on. That might be a nice little surprise, even if it's just a stripling moves to the rotation to continue filling in for Ryu's spot. He's somebody that can come in and be that long guy. All right, stretched out. Could probably eat up 2 or 3 innings solidly and look pretty good while doing it, hopefully. Outside of that, I wanted to mention, I forget his name off the top of my head, but he hit. I lost it. Oh, Vinny Capra was looking pretty damn good again. Yeah, I know everybody just saw him, but he is looking like he's a good player. And Otto Lopez, that guy doesn't seem like he's real fast, but he was moving around those bases against the Rochester Reds pretty good the other night when I was there.
Nice. Cool. Picks click and all those wonderful things. Craig, if you want to take over on that front before we wrap it up.
All right. So last week, I had Matt Chapman. Chris, you had Bo Bichette. Adam, George Springer. And Brendan, Jason Lee penciled in Teo Hernandez. So, to that point, guys, I'm pretty sure I'm out with the Chapman things outside of a couple of clutch hits. He really didn't do a ton. Bo Bichette's been Bo Bichette over the last week would be about the best way I can say it. Springer now has 50 career leadoff home runs after the last week. Teoscar Hernandez has had a sneaky, I'm waking this bat up week. And yeah, I don't know who out of those three I would really honestly vote for. Kind of almost want to lean into Teoscar Hernandez vote, personally, because it was just fun to watch him pick up where he left off, finally. Because that's what it looked like to me.
For me, I think this is very much a two-headed race, or two-horse race, in Taylor and Springer.
Springer's been good, too.
Teoscar's had some really key moments, but Springer's been hitting those home runs to lead the game off. He's gotten the heat back within striking distance right away. So that's if you guys want to make a case for which one it should be, then maybe me and Craig can come to a decision.
Is Brendan?
I didn't make the pick, so I don't know if I want to win my first one. Wait. Jason Lee.
It's a co-pick between him and Jason because it's his slot. Jason picked it.
No, I'm not.
Brendan's not on the board?
No, Brendan is on the board. He has one.
I do.
How many do I have? Three?
Right now it is Brendan 1, Craig 1, Chris 2, Adam 3.
Brendan, happy wedding. Take this point.
Thank you, Jason Lee. It's not really. Thank you, Jason Lee. Shout out to you.
So to that point, if you wanted to sort things by batting average and overall offensive prowess on the Blue Jays stats over the last 7 days, Teoscar Hernandez is batting .375 with a home run, four guys, a triple, two doubles, and five runs scored.
Yeah, you
only,
can't
only eclipsed by Alejandro Kirk.
Yeah, no. Take it, Brendan. It's all yours. All happy right. wedding.
You don't
yeah.
need to tell in me twice. Pen. Thank you.
Yeah. I still have the lead.
Hey, oh, circled
what,
it.
What a risk beside it, though.
Oh, okay. Just to make sure that Jason has a pick when he comes back for the next visit.
Yeah.
Jason can be on the board technically, too, is what I heard. So, anyways, so no fellas, so that means Teoscar Hernandez pick here gives you the first privy here, Mr. Panikkar.
So, are we picking for, are we doing tonight's game, tomorrow's game?
Tonight's game.
In the Tigers series?
Mm.
Okay. And I guess what, one against Baltimore? Because if we record next Tuesday, that'll be one game against them underway.
That would, would that count for the next one, though? We're on Tuesday nights all the time, every day now.
No, because it'll be Monday.
Okay.
Oh, it'll be Monday. Yeah, then yes, that would.
If the Baltimore game's on Monday.
Yeah.
All right. Give me Alec Manoah. He's going tonight. That means he'll go on Monday too.
Yep.
Or Sunday.
Oh, that's not fair. He's cheating for an inning already.
Yeah, I didn't see anything.
To that, just to be that's 0-0 so far.
Excellent.
And how do you think we're going to go over that week, Brendan, for the tiebreaker?
That's a good question. Win tonight. You know what? I'm going to say the sweep is against Kansas City. So tomorrow, and then 2 out of 3 in Detroit, and the one against Baltimore. So what, 5-1, 6-1,
something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
6-1. Yeah,
okay. All right.
Adam, you can go since you are a very close second.
6-1. You know, I've stuck by him this entire podcast. Uh-oh. Have not budged away. Been his biggest supporter. I'm going to go Kirk.
Ah, there it is.
Not once to be
traded. To raise the trade value.
Yes.
So you thinking record-wise?
I think they're going to sweep them both.
And the one against Baltimore to be the chair on 7.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have Berríos Friday against Detroit, Gausman Saturday, and Stripling Sunday. That's a pretty good chance at that.
Yeah. And Monday would be, you said, Manoah, right? Yes. Give it to
me. Locked it in.
Another win streak.
It's already written in deal.
Yeah.
So does that mean it's my pick then, Chris, or
Yeah, you can go. I'm still thinking here.
All right. I'm going to go Lourdes. I've liked what he's been doing the last few weeks here, and I think it's going to come to a head here over the next week because of the he's been hitting all those little hard line drives over the infield. You know, some of those are going to start going over the fence in the near future here. He's hitting hard contact by now, so I think we're going to find a way to cough one game up. So I'm going to do 6-1.
We established that Guerrero is not a cheat code anymore, right?
Yeah, I think we've proven that over the last month.
he's become, so now's the time.
So I'm sneaking in my Guerrero pick. and we're gonna have one loss somewhere in there, so not sure where, but there will be one.
So to that point, there you go, there's your picks to click. Guys, I did want to mention one thing that in the midst of that whole fun that we were talking about, why don't we talk Soto trading, because that was fun.
Right now.
Why not?
Save that for
49 minutes. You got time.
Let's tape
it. Unless Chris has got to run away.
I gotta go to the bathroom too. So
let's save it because
simmer for a week. That was
a lot of silliness and throwing things around and far too much coffee at the time.
That's like
an awesome. Why I thought it'd be funny to talk about because it doesn't have to be serious. We are a drinking show, if I recall. No.
Right. Next week.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, let's table it for next week.
Sure.
There's your bone.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. But how cool is it to know that George Springer's batting leadoff for us every night and he has 50 career leadoff home runs?
Yeah, it's comforting.
Last time I remember seeing this kind of thing when Brady Anderson was all roided out for the frickin' Baltimore Orioles in the mid-90s and just destroying pitching right off the bat to begin ball games.
Oh, yeah.
It was a 50 home run season for him, though. Just saying. Good stuff.
Before we run it too long and we get too far off track, I think we'll wrap it up there. As we always do, once again, thank you very much to all the boys for coming out here. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. Stadium Scene, Jays Journal, go check them out. We are the official podcast of them. We will end this, as we always do, with two claps and a Ric Flair. Let's get it, boys.
Woo! Woo! Let's go.
Blue Jays.
All hail King.